to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Amen. We've had a good song service and joke went over well and all that. And that is true. I was going to preach out of Judges chapter 7. And I've been praying about it this evening, y'all. And this is what's on my heart. So I'd ask you to please be attentive to it. Try to get something out of it. Let me say this also before we get started. I want to look at one more place. Hold your place right there in Joshua chapter 7 and turn with me over to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. We'll give you a while to get over there. That's mixed in with them minor prophets over there, so I know that can be rough sometimes. If I hadn't marked it in my Bible, I'd still be looking for it too. Hosea chapter 4. But in all seriousness now, I like to have a good time in church. But I'll tell you this, this thing's awful serious, this business of serving God. When you sign up in the Lord's army, it's an awful serious thing. There's going to be times that you get hurt. There's going to be times that you get discouraged. All of that. You're going to go through every bit of that. And I'll be honest with you, I would love to preach a very encouraging message tonight, but that's, honest to God, that's just not what's on my heart. And this is more of a true revival-type message. And I pray that you'll pay attention to it. And let me read this verse right here in Hosea chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 17, Hosea chapter 4, verse number 17, it says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. That's a pretty powerful verse. Ephraim's joined up to idols, so we'll just leave him alone. Listen, church, you know what the Lord can say? New Hope is joined to idols. Let him alone. Is everybody all right with me now? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just saying. And you say, well, you know, Brother Jared, you don't know about us and you don't know what we do. And you, no, but I know human nature. I know that because I is one. And I'm going to tell you what, it gets very easy to get an idol down in your heart. It becomes very, very easy to do that. And then over time, you just begin to get dull to the things of God. I'll tell you what's a scary thing is if you can sit and hear preaching. I don't care if it's me preaching. I don't care if it's your pastor. We could bring in one of the preachers that we all probably love to hear, Dr. David Peacock. I believe he's a great man of God with the touch of God on him. We can bring Brother Peacock in, you name it, and we can bring in the most powerful preacher in America, but if you stay joined up to idols long enough, the Lord will finally just kind of leave you alone. He'll say, oh, so-and-so's just joined up to idols, so I'll just go on down the road and find somebody to fellowship with me. And I'm going to tell you, if you get to the point where you get past conviction, you get past the tenderness, and you get beyond all of that, I'm going to tell you, you're in a dangerous spot spiritually. You've got to understand this. The Lord does not, listen to me please, the Lord does not need you. And the Lord does not need me. We need him. And right here, you know what Ephraim needed? The Lord didn't need Ephraim. Ephraim needed him. And he says, Ephraim's joined unto idols. Let's just let him alone. Are y'all with me on that? That ought to make you a little bit nervous as a Christian. When the presence of God ceases to be in your life, you ought to get nervous and concerned. When conviction doesn't, when preaching doesn't affect you anymore, it doesn't move you in any kind of way, you better be getting serious about getting back to where you need to be and drawing nigh to God, friend. And you say, why is that? I believe that we'll see the example here in this story tonight. And again, I'll watch the time, but I'm going to try to follow the Lord because I like it when I leave a service that I can look up in the heaven and say, Lord, I did what at least I thought you wanted me to do tonight. If I missed it, Lord, I missed it trying to follow you. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, church, you know what the Lord will eventually do? If a people decide that they don't want him, If a people decide that they had rather have their reputation, listen, I'm going to tell you this. Let me just step over onto this, and I know I'm on a nervous spot right here and all that, but you know what? There ain't nothing wrong with saying amen in church. That does not make you spiritual, by the way, to do that. There's nothing wrong with shedding a tear. There's nothing wrong with coming to the altar. There's nothing wrong with being in a service and having open expression about what's going on inside of you. You know what'll keep you bottled that up? You know the only thing that'll make you bottle that up is when you worry about what somebody else thinks about you. Then you know what you've done? You've done like Ephraim, but your idol, you ain't got an idol made out of gold and silver and wood and all that. Your idol becomes your own reputation. What's everybody going to think about me, man? What's everybody going to think about me? Thank God that we've had some people come down through this Christian line through the years that didn't give a rip what nobody thought about them. Amen. Amen. If you're going to do anything for God, you can decide this. You can fear God, and if you fear God, you will not fear man. And if you fear man, you will not fear God. Amen. I'm telling you, church, and I'm saying, if that ain't the what you say, well, I just don't feel like raising my hand and saying amen. Well, that's a whole nother sermon. But if you've got some kind of reservation inside of you, the same thing that'll keep you from raising your hand will keep you from handing out a gospel tract. It's that reputation. It's that reputation. I don't want anybody to think anything about me. I don't want to rock the boat. Man, sometimes good just flip the boat all the way over. You know what I'm talking about? Flip it over, bust a hole in it, and sink it to the bottom. Amen. I mean, shake it up, man. Shake it up. You know what you'll do? There's been many churches all over this land that believe a King James Bible. They believe the truth. They have a good preacher that preaches the truth. They've got the good traditional songs in the church. I like that stuff. I like not having rock music in the church. I'm a big fan of that. Big fan of that. But you know what? They begin to join themselves to idols. Idols develop in their heart. And they keep it covered up, and they can still come and smile and sit on the church pew. And they try to put on the front of, I'm still spiritual, brother. Ephraim's still hanging out with everybody else. The Lord says, look, man, they're joined up to idols. I'll just leave them alone. You know what the Lord will do? He'll go outside, and he'll change the sign. You won't be able to see it, but the Lord will change the sign, and it won't say New Hope Baptist Church anymore. It'll just say Ichabod Baptist Church. The glory hath departed. Do y'all understand tonight that he'll actually do that? This loving, gracious, caring God that is yet still supposed to be feared and revered by you and I, he'll really do that. He'll really do that. He'll just walk off from this place. There won't be a stir in here. There won't be a fire in here. And there'll be a few people in here. The preacher will try to preach and try to get something going and try to help you stay right with God and get you right with God. But eventually, when you go to Ichabod Baptist Church, where the glory's departed, you just sit there and you just dry up and just dead as a hammer. Why is that? Because you join up to idols. Preaching don't affect you anymore. Surely, to God, you're not to that point tonight, are you? Where preaching won't affect you anymore. Where it just doesn't bother you to hear something preached right out of the Word of God. Surely you can still feel conviction. And if you're to that point, you're not beyond help. But you know what? It's one thing to feel conviction, and it's another thing to respond to it. Amen. Right over here, let's read some stuff here in Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. The Bible says this. Let's read a few verses here. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the men about 3,000, went up of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth before his face, upon his face before the ark of the Lord, until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy them?" Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." Brother Steen, would you mind praying one more time for us tonight? Amen. Now right here we pick up this story here, this story of Achan, and I know a lot of us probably are familiar with this story, this man that committed this trespass against the Lord and taken the accursed thing. And what had just happened in the story previously is they all got around the city of Jericho, and a lot of y'all know this story about how they got around the city there, and the Lord told him, he said, "What I want you to do for 7 days, I want you to march around this thing and just don't even say a word. Y'all just go marching around the city." Sure enough, they got up that first morning and they went marching around the city, and everybody thought they were crazy and thought they were out of their minds, and that's exactly what I would think if I saw somebody doing that. "We're going to take this city by walking around it." You know, that's crazy. So they get up and they start going around that thing, and they get up the next morning and they go again. Next morning they go again. They do that 6 days. On the seventh day, they go around it 7 times. Then they all get to shouting and blowing the horns and all that, and the walls come tumbling down. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Y'all know the story. And the Lord told him, he said, "But now this is going to be a little bit different. When you go in here, everything that's in this place, you can't just take of the spoils and take it back to your house. What I want you to do is you dedicate everything inside that city unto me." That seems like a pretty fair deal. "I'll knock the walls down. I'll take care of you. I've been feeding you for 40 years already. Just let me have what's inside of there." Y'all with me on that? Pretty fair deal. But what happens when they get inside of there? There's a guy named Achan, and he takes of the stuff that he's not supposed to have, and he takes it back to his tent. That's where we pick up in this story, and that's where we just started reading. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about this man, Achan, and some things in his life, and see if we can draw some kind of application for me and you. First thing I want to say is he coveted what he was not supposed to have. Coveted what he was not supposed to have. The Bible says there that he saw that thing and he took of it because he started coveting what he wasn't supposed to have. And I'm going to tell you this: for a man to do that, he must not have been thankful for what God had already done for him. I'm going to tell you what you may do tonight. We're preaching a little bit about secret sin. I'm going to tell you what. Secret sin will come into a church, he'll come into a home, it'll completely wreck that church, secret sin. Amen. I guess we write on it tonight. Amen. Secret sin will ruin a church. Now I'll tell you what you'll do. If you're not careful, where your mind will immediately go is somebody slipping around and somebody getting with somebody's wife or somebody getting with somebody's husband and keeping it all hidden in the dark. But I'm going to tell you one thing I noticed in this story. What the man took, he never took anything big. It wasn't a great big sin that this man was committing, but it was big enough to cause a whole lot of trouble. Big enough to cause a whole lot of trouble. He began to covet what he wasn't supposed to have. Bible says over in the book of Colossians, it says that covetousness is idolatry. Now we said a minute ago, we said Ephraim's joined unto idols. We'll just leave him alone. This man began to covet, which is idolatry. I'm telling you what, God brought judgment against Israel. And you know what will happen in your church? God will bring judgment against your church if there's secret sin within the church. Amen. Amen. And you know one way that he'll do it? Sometimes he'll just blow it up and expose it to everybody. Or sometimes he'll just take off down the road. He'll just get on down the road and go do something else. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you this. He coveted what he wasn't supposed to have. We know covetousness is idolatry. And then the second thing we notice is that he covered his sin. He covered his sin. That we find that there in the same passage. Verse number 21, he says that he buried it when he was in his tent. I'm going to tell you this. There's a Muslim teaching of this place called Bahrain. And they say that when you go to Bahrain, that whatever you do there, that Allah cannot see it, whatever goes on in this place called Bahrain. They said it's absolutely just a filthy city because all these Muslims congregate there and they believe they can go there and sin and Allah can't see it. Problem is we're not serving Allah. We don't have a Bahrain. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now I'm going to tell you where your mind will immediately go if you're not careful. You'll get to thinking, well, Brother Jared, I mean, you know, I'm not into anything big. I'm not into anything like that. I'm going to tell you what. You know what you can begin to commit, and you can hide it. You can begin to cover it. You can try to cover that sin where nobody can see it. The Bible does say to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know what you'll do as a Christian, a Bible believer? You'll come into this church week after week. You'll smile and you'll shake the preacher's hand. You'll drop $20 in the offering plate. You'll come by and you'll put on the show that you need to do, whatever it takes to keep your sin covered up. When you're really not in love with the Lord anymore like you're supposed to be. I mean, you really got something down in your heart that ain't supposed to be there. It ain't always just something that's in your house. It can be something inside of your heart. I'll tell you what we'll do a lot of times. You know what we'll do? We'll take sin. A lot of times we'll try to cover up sin just in plain sight just because we're in Laodicea. Christians are not held to the biblical standard anymore. I mean, we can just kind of say, do, and go, and do whatever we want to. We just kind of say, well, you know, it ain't no big deal. We live under grace. You know what you're trying to do? You're trying to cover up sin in plain sight. Let's just cover it all up in plain sight. Yeah, let's just pretend like everything's okay when it's really not. When it's really not. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. If you don't have a desire, if you're past having a desire and a concern for the well-being and the future of your church, the power of God and the presence of God and the breath of God being here, you're already in trouble. You're already in trouble. When preaching can just bounce off of you and you say, Brother Jared, we want to come here tonight. And me and the preacher were talking about this here recently. We want you to just, won't you just put us on a show, preacher? We sang about that a few minutes ago. Give us a preacher that can put on a show. Yeah. Why would he challenge us? Why would we be challenged to change anything? You know what you do? You get to a point where nothing can move you anymore. You came here tonight. Chances are many people came into this building tonight with no desire to change anything in their life. You came in here ahead of time knowing how you were going to be when you left. You said, we'll come in here, we'll knock out some singing, we'll listen to a little preaching, hopefully he'll say something funny. I told you, joke's already over with. He'll say something funny. Maybe he'll kind of, something to kind of stir me emotionally a little bit. He'll tell me how much the Lord loves me and all. Then we'll go eat pizza and ice cream. We have revival after revival after revival with that mentality right there. And why in God's name doesn't something happen? And why doesn't God begin to move and stir in a church again? The problem is because we came in with a bunch of crap covered up. And when we left, that same crap's just covered up. Nothing got dug up. Nothing got exposed. Nothing got confessed. Nothing got left at the altar. I mean, hey, man, we just come like we want to. We leave just like we came in here. Nothing changes. Time after time after time. It don't matter who's preaching. It don't matter what. If you get to the point where you're not concerned about sin anymore, you are past help, friend. You are past help. You say, well, my God, man, why would you say that? Tell us another joke. Do something. Help us now, brother. Put on a show. Put on some kind of entertainment. I'm telling you what. Listen to me. You will give an account to God for the things you have heard the last three nights. If you're going to do nothing with it, friend, you would have done better to have stayed at home. Because one of these days, God Almighty will judge you according to the light that you were given. We've preached about getting back to Bethel. Man, we've preached about seeing the mighty works of God. Oh, do you want to see the mighty works of God? I'm telling you what, if you've got secret sin in your heart, you don't care about seeing any mighty works of God. Because you've joined yourself to some idol. He has just happened to be a wedge of gold and some silver and a Babylonian garment. Now, what is yours? Why don't you get stirred up about the things of God? Why don't you have any zeal for God? Have you not ever questioned that? Look yourself in the mirror and say, why do I not care about the things of God? The preacher, he preaches about it and he says that I ought to witness. Why do I not witness to people? The preacher says that I ought to pray. Why is my prayer life an absolute joke? The preacher says I ought to read my Bible. Why is my Bible reading two verses a day before I fall asleep at night? The preacher says, I ought to get excited about the things of God. Why am I not excited? Chances are you've got some idol buried down inside of your heart. God ain't going to speak to you until you get that out. Just going to say, old so-and-so's joined idols. I'll just let them alone. You just keep fighting conviction and fighting conviction and fighting conviction to the point where, you know what some of you'll do? You don't even feel conviction no more. It don't matter if you did get to see the walls come tumbling down. Do you know where this man was at in the story? He just got to see one of the coolest things that ever happened. Do you realize he was in the bunch of people that was marching around the city? He was in that group. He watched what God did. When he went in there and coveted that and took it, there was already way back here, he had already got himself in a mess. The problem wasn't just when he walked in and he saw that stuff and he said, oh man, I just feel overwhelmingly tempted. No, he had already lost fellowship with God way back here. The walls come tumbling down and people saying, woo, man, God's given a victory. Look what God's doing. Look what, he's going to give us victory over our enemies. Man, this is great. Achan standing over there going, yeah, it's pretty good. It's all right. He should have begun to question himself right then. Why in the world is my heart so far from what's going on? Amen. The Bible says there that he covered his sin. Covered his sin. He even admitted to it. He said, I buried it in the earth. And you say, Brother Jared, I just feel so complacent. Listen, it's because you can. It's because you can. You're commanded to love God with all your heart. But chances are you got stuff that you spend way, way much more time with than you do the Lord. But we just cover it up. Some of us cover it right in plain sight, don't we? It's all right. It ain't no big deal. If you got to say that about what you're doing, probably wrong. If that's the way you have to say it, it ain't that big a deal. It ain't. Something's probably wrong with it. Listen, I'm telling you, I mean, I'm feeling all the resistance and all of that. I know you are too, so I'm going to just try to keep going.
Yeah, amen, brother.
But if you don't care, if you've gotten to the point where you don't care, and you say, you know what, I do have an idol, but I'm just going to hold on to it. I'm not going to dig it up. I'm not going to deal with it. It don't matter, friend. You can see the walls come tumbling down. You can see the manna fall out of the sky. You can see all that, and you're still past help. Still past help, because your heart is already drifted away from God. You don't care anymore. You don't care anymore. Covered up his sin. Tell you what else, verse number 5 there, it said, and the men of Ai smote them about 36 men. You know what it did? It caused other men to die because of this guy's sin. The Lord even addresses it, and he said, Israel has sinned. In other words, he said, when I look down at this body of people, there's some sin in the camp, and I'm going to judge everybody because there's some sin in the camp. Now I'm going to tell you, you know what will make the power of God leave? It may be your sin that's holding back the move of God here. Now you say, man, that's a heavy thing. Right, that's exactly right. This thing's not a joke. There's going to actually be lost people walk through the door from time to time, and convicting power's not going to be here. Are y'all with me? I mean, I'm not trying to re-preach last night's sermon, but convicting power's not going to be here. The atmosphere is not right. You're holding on to sin. You know you've got stuff buried in your tent, and you ain't going to do nothing about it. People come in here, and they don't feel conviction of God. They just get up and walk right out. Amen. 36 men. That means 36 widows were left. 36 men lost their life. There was a bunch of little kids running around that's going to grow up without their daddy because of the sin and selfishness of just one man. But we don't care. As long as I got my idol, buddy, I'm fine. As long as I can get my gold and my silver and my Babylonian garment, I'm okay. If I can just hold on to my little play toy, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. It may be, sir, that you won't lead your wife spiritually. I'm serious. It could be anything. I'm not going to name off a bunch of sins tonight. There's no need. But the problem is, see, we get to thinking, well, you know, I mean, I ain't running around, you know, killing people on the weekend or nothing, you know. I mean, I ain't stepped out on my wife, or I ain't fooling around with whatever it is. I ain't stealing no bunch of money. But right here, this man wasn't doing anything horrible. And the Bible even says that he took a wedge of gold. He didn't even take the whole block. Just a wedge. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. But you know what? We get to the point where we're not even sensitive anymore. Our conscience has been seared. The Holy Spirit has been so vexed and so quenched in our life for so long, we don't even feel convicted over it anymore. We don't even feel convicted anymore. And you know what? We ain't going to see the power of God move. We're going to see the judgment of God. Amen. Amen. Caused other men to die because he just selfishly did what he wanted to do. Do you realize that? I know that I understand the idea of the body of Christ being every saved person that's ever been. I believe that. But in this local assembly, you know what? I get thinking about my body. You know, Brother Randy was talking about running the other day. And Brother Dennis said, what's the thing that bothers you the most in your running? He said, I got a heel spur. In other words, the rest of him's working real good, but he's got one little spot that really gives him trouble. So in other words, there can be something just real small that's giving you a lot of trouble. What is it tonight that's keeping you from getting stirred up about the things of God? What is it that makes you be complacent where you don't care anymore? I'm serious. I'm just being real honest with you, okay? I'm just being real honest with you. I'm not trying to be ugly to you. Ask yourself, what is it that's causing me to not care anymore? You need to assess that. You need to confess that, and you need to forsake that. Caused other people to die because of his sin, just because he was selfish and he just wanted to hold on to his little idol. He called a message from the Lord right there in 13 through 15. Joshua rose up and he told him, he said, tomorrow the Lord's bringing judgment. The Lord's going to bring judgment. You say, how's the Lord going to bring judgment on me? I have no idea. No idea. You know what he's not going to do? He's not going to have them drag your family out and stone them like he did here. It may be simply that he just gets so grieved and vexed that he just leaves and he doesn't fool with you anymore. You don't get to see him work and move in your life anymore. Maybe you fool him with something, sir, that he's going to drag right out into the open and expose it.
Amen.
Maybe you, ma'am, you better be careful messing around on Facebook and stuff like that.
Come on.
You'll mess around and get yourself in trouble.
Come on.
You get in trouble.
Amen.
He caught a message from the Lord. I'll tell you what else he did. He cast off his space of repentance. Verse 13 there, the Lord's speaking, and he tells Joshua, he said, you go tell them, up sanctify the people. Tell them, he says, that sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. In other words, he had all night long to get that sin right with God. Now, it wasn't going to bring them 36 men back. But we don't know how merciful God might have actually been to that man. And he told him, he said, listen, hear ye, all people of Israel. Tomorrow in the morning, God Almighty is bringing judgment. You better get ready. And you know what he did? He heard that message, he heard that preaching, and he went to his little tent, and he sat there and he thought, man, surely to God it's not me that's causing this. I mean, surely somebody else took a little something. I mean, these guys ain't all that spiritual like they appear to be. I mean, he can't be talking about me. All night long, I imagine he sits there and he looks and he's got a little shovel, a little digging tool over there in the corner, and his wife and kids have fallen asleep. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. He's looking over at his wife and he's looking at his kids and he's looking at that fresh dug up place underneath that mat in his tent there, and he knows what he's got buried in the ground. And he said, tomorrow judgment is going to fall. All night long he sits there and says, surely, surely not me. I mean, I was in on the marching. I mean, I'm a Bible believer, man. I mean, surely he's not talking about me. Sits there all night long. Until, get to thinking about how he's sitting there, sleepless night, God dealing with him. Conviction moving on him. He's sitting there, and then finally the sun starts coming up, breaking through the little cracks of that tent. Maybe a ray of sun comes over on his maybe 10 or 12 year old daughter's face, and he's looking at her and thinks, man, she looks so pretty when she's laying there sleeping. Looks over at his wife that's been faithful to him and says, man, what am I going to do now? He looks down at that fresh dug up place of dirt and he says, well, now I know it's too late. I've already cast off my space of repentance now. And now judgment time's coming. You say, how's judgment going to fall on me? Listen, go ahead and just keep not caring. Go ahead and stay joined to idols. Go ahead. See, for some reason, when the Jericho walls fell, he wasn't affected. It didn't move him. And you say, I'm just not being moved anymore. Takes a whole lot more to stir me. You know what? You're headed for this right here. You're headed for this right here. And I guarantee you, he sits there and he knows what's buried in the ground. He knows the judgment that's coming. And he sits there and he looks at it. And maybe his mind rolls back for years and years and he thinks, how did I end up here? How did I end up like this? How did I end up responsible for the death of 36 men? How did this even happen? Way back here somewhere, he got disconnected. And he was just showing up. We got military drills in the morning. Okay, Aiken's there. We got to march around the city. All right, I'm here present. And all that goes on for months and months and years at a time. And then finally he's sitting there looking, saying, how in the world did I get here? Listen, you can't just keep playing around with God. You can't keep playing around and don't take it serious. Go ahead and try that. Eventually, something bad's going to happen. Eventually, something bad's going to happen. And you know, it'd be a real tragedy if what bad happens is that the Spirit of God just takes off out of here, stamps Ichabod on the door, and he says, I'm done. I'm done. You're going to be joined up to idols. I'll get on down the road somewhere. I'll go over and find me somewhere else to fellowship where people really care about me showing up. I'll go over there where they're not so concerned about their reputation. I'll go over there where they're not concerned about tradition. I'll go over there where they're not going to just be filled with gossip and bickering and murmuring and complaining and getting mad about the preacher or whatever it is. Whatever it is that causes you to get stifled, whatever it is in your heart, because I'm telling you what, friend, it is something. I can feel it in here even right now. It's something. I know that we ain't jumping around with a big bunch of unction on us tonight, but I believe I'm saying the right thing, Brother Dennis. I believe I'm saying the right thing. Man covered up his sin. He caused other people to die because of his selfishness and his sin. He heard a message from God. He cast off his space of repentance. He's thinking, how did I get here? But you know one thing he never did do? Look at verse 24. He never did count the cost of his sin. The Bible says there in 24, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. He said, you've been troubling us, now God's fixing to trouble you. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. That was the cost of the wedge of gold and the little bit of silver and the Babylonian garment. He never counted what it was going to cost him. Amen. Amen. He never thought when he just got disconnected way back when the walls falling down, and he didn't say, why didn't it stir me when the walls fell down like it stirred these other guys? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Wait a minute now. I'm playing a dangerous game. I'm playing around with God. Why don't I get excited because of all this manna that I got fed from for all these years? Why don't that stir me anymore? Something's wrong. And way back when, he got disconnected. And then one day it came. And the sin popped up. He takes that stuff, hides his sin, buries it in his tent. He gets warned, one last chance to try to make it right with God. Tomorrow, that's just because God's merciful. They might have still killed him, but I wouldn't doubt they would have probably let his family live. Because God still smiles on repentance. But he never did count the cost, what it would really cost him. His little baby girl getting killed. His boy getting killed. I'm going to tell you this, and brother, I'd ask you, if you're recording this, I'd ask you to stop the tape for just a minute. Alone. Church, I'll tell you this. You say, why would you tell us this? You need to safeguard your church and your home with as much prayer as you can throw up to the Lord. You better safeguard it. Why is that? Because the devil's coming. He's coming. And he's looking for you. He's looking for me. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking, please. Nobody looking, please. Pastor's coming. Sister Ailish will play us something on the piano. Listen.